All right. Welcome to another episode of Fourth and Wine, where we do what? Drink wine and have a good time. So week two is in the books, but let's talk a little bit about the Eagles' performance last night. So we're going to get a little bit into that later. I have my special guest and co-host, aka co-host, Marquis with me. He's going to sip on wine and we're going to give our thoughts, feelings, reviews of Monday Night Football's game. So keep listening. You are now checking out Fourth and Wine. All right. So welcome, Marquis. Welcome.
Sash, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
So we're going to be trying out a white wine today. It is a white blend. It is called a Cambo Ferré Le Bousson Delicieuse. It's French, as you may have known. The grapes were harvested in 2023. The bottle is very simple. It's a green bottle with a white label and like this blue, it looks like waves or something on the front. Very simple, but it's a nice bottle. The back of the bottle says it is a medium sweet wine. This bottle was probably about $12. And we're going to try it out. White blends typically go well, you know, with desserts, like pastas, foods like that. So let's pour up and have a taste.
You're not feeling it?
No, not particularly. I don't like it. It is a little too sweet for me. The bottle does say medium sweet, but I just, on the scale, medium sweet isn't all the way at the end with its grade. It's just very sweet for me. I'm not a big fan of like Moscatos, Rieslings, sweet dessert wines like that. I like some things that are a little sweet, but maybe more on the dry side. But, you know, if you like a sweet wine, you really might enjoy this. I did not. Marquis, what did you think of the wine?
Oh, I don't mind it. Like you said, it is sweet. So if sweet is your thing and you got a, you know, a palate that prefers sweeter wines, then I think this is a solid alternative to like Moscato, things like that. To have it like dessert or just chilling, you'll probably taste really good chilled as well. So, I mean, it's not a bad wine, but I don't mind sweeter wines as well.
Yeah, agreed. So if you like this wine, I will post the name and the year on my fourthandwine.com. So make sure you go, you check that out. You can get all the details about this wine and go buy it and try it for yourself. But yeah, so maybe some of this sweet wine can wash down some of that bitterness of last night's loss.
I like that segue.
So last night, the Philadelphia Eagles played the Atlanta Falcons at home. If you didn't watch the game, let me run it through for you. The score was 22-21 Falcons. The team rushed for 186 yards on 37 attempts, 179 yards passing, went 2 for 5 in red zone attempts, racked up 9 penalties, 1 turnover, and Jalen Hurts had a solid completion percentage of 76.6%. And with all that, good and bad, we still managed to lose the game in the last minute and 30 seconds. But let's just chat a little bit. Did you make any bets on this week, on the game?
Nah, I didn't put no bets in, man. FanDuel took my money last week, but I wasn't taking another risk this week. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I made bets. I'm in a pool at work, and, you know, we pick every week. So I made a few bets this week on the Eagles and a lot of other teams, and week two just wasn't a good week. So just chalk it up as a loss, y'all. You lost your money this week. No matter how good your analytics was or whatever, you lost your money this week. But mentally, how are you feeling after that game?
If I'm being real, man, last night's game was draining. And there's no way we should have lost that game. I'm trying to contain my trauma from last season with the whole collapse at the end of the year and not try to bring it into this season. But my birds are making it real tough for me to do that. The feeling last night was way too familiar. At the bottom of it all, like, I'm not surprised, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. So overall, I'm disappointed. This team has so much potential. On paper, we look like a great team, but there's just certain areas that just don't sit well with me. And I mean, there's a lot of mistakes and issues and things we'll get into later on in the show, but overall, disappointment is what I feel. I just feel really disappointed. Be hungry. Get angry. Get mad. Football isn't like some other sports, like baseball, where you get a 3-game series and you could try again to beat this opponent. Yeah. Like, you're one and done in football. So in this league, it's always, what have you done for me lately? Not, what did you do last week? What's going to happen? What did you do last year? Like, execute in the moment. So I'm a little disappointed, but we'll get into more of that later. So let's just start off with our first segment. Let's rank. Let's rank. Pick your top three reasons you think we lost that game last night.
Top three reasons why we lost that game. Simple. Offense, play calling, defense, and Jalen.
Now, I agree with you on the Jalen and defense. So we got two out of three that are the same. But I have another one that's a little different from you.
What's that?
Saquon.
That's the obvious answer, but go ahead.
It is obvious, but a lot of people are like, oh, he's not the reason we lost the game and blah, blah, blah. And I hear all of that, but and people might not agree with me, but he is the reason we lost the game. At the surface, you got to catch the ball. And people can say what they want. Oh, they should have ran the ball on 3rd and 3 and got. And if they didn't even get the first down, they could have at least gotten the 4th down and forcing it. All of this other stuff. And it's like, yeah, but the play was drawn up. I thought it was drawn up well. He had the opportunity. He was open. You got to make the catch. You got to make the catch. Now, granted, I get he's a running back. Saquon is thought to be a versatile player. He's thought to have many facets. So you gotta make that play, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like I said, if we being honest, like, the play was designed well. Jalen had been struggling most of the game to put the ball in the right spot, which he did that play, and Saquon didn't come down with the pass. So for that reason, I can see why some people would feel like, you know, he was the reason why we lost that game. I just don't feel that way. I think that he was a bright spot in our offense up to that point and should never been in that position to begin with. So, and that leads me to my number one reason why we lost that game, which was the offensive play calling. It wasn't creative. Offense is getting predictable. Like, we at week 2, and I feel like I can already predict what play is going to be ran, what route Jalen's probably going to go to. Going forward on 4th downs when we should have just kicked the field goal and just take the points. In the NFL, man, you got to take the points. Nothing is guaranteed. You're not guaranteed to get back down to the end zone to get a touchdown. So anytime you got a chance to get points and put points on the board, you got to take that. And we just didn't.
So how you feel about defense? What's your thoughts on that? Why do you think defense was the reason we lost last night?
I mean, you watched the game. Defense got abused. Like, they can't stop the run. Couldn't stop the run. Gave up over 150 yards. Missed tackles. 0 pass rush. No QB pressures.
None.
Secondary played well, which was a plus up until the, you know, 5 minutes left in the last quarter. But overall, like, the defense, the run game, front 7, they got murdered. They got cooked.
honestly, defense, I'm just repping them all up in one. All up in one. They couldn't stop the run, like you said. They could not stop the run. There was no pass rush. And if you watched my quick slants on my IG page, at For The Bird Sports, you would see that I said the Eagles needed to be able to stop the run if they wanted to develop, if they wanted to get better, and if they wanted to win against the Atlanta Falcons. And they couldn't seem to do that. And defense just also doesn't, they don't feel hungry to me, and they don't feel mature. And this seems like very ticky-tacky, and I hate when like people who talk about the Eagles get ticky-tacky and just nitpick at things that aren't performance related. But I feel like that Eagles defense, they need a leader. They need a leader. They don't have a leader. It just seems very immature.
Just talk about that. Performance. Yeah, just talk about
that. Trash talk wise. Like, it's just immature. And I could be flat out wrong, but something about that culture, it seems very similar to last year. It's a lot of young guys on defense. And I need some of the vets to step up, become the mature one in that locker room, and just get serious, get angry, get mad. I need a winning mentality, and I don't feel like anybody on that defense has it.
Hold guys accountable. Hold guys accountable. And like, and even just dialing it back to like the offense again, like we didn't run the ball enough. Even though like Saquon had a good game stat-wise overall, like we never run the ball enough to set the tone. Like running the ball helps you set the tone, be physical with the defense. And honestly, it takes pressure off for the quarterback where he can get off plays. You can set the play action up and you can open up the offensive playbook just by running the ball and setting the tone. We never do that. We start doing it and then we get away from it. The RPOs, and people that don't know, RPO is a run pass option. So we do that a lot. And relying heavily on that RPO, like, I don't want to see that again for the rest of the season. If I never see another RPO, I'm cool. But like you said, like, the defense needs somebody to step up. And there aren't many vets on our defense because, like you said, everybody is young. But somebody has to be that guy in the locker room to hold everybody accountable or at least set the tone by example. It's a lot of lackadaisical stuff going on, guys. Not everybody pointing the finger. Oh, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Oh, we lost, but I had a good game. Like, that don't fly. It doesn't fly.
Agreed. Now, the Eagles did run the ball more than they threw it yesterday in last night's game. They ran the ball 37 times compared to 30 passing attempts. But I do think they should have started running the ball at the beginning of the game. I felt like they definitely lacked there. But you also mentioned Jalen Hurts being a reason that we lost that game. And tell me why you think Jalen was a reason we lost that game. I got him as my top three reasons we lost the game as well. So, but you tell me. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, Jalen, I like Jalen. But this season, like, I can't lie to myself anymore. Like, Jalen has to play better. Forcing throws, holding the ball too long, leaving the pocket too soon. Even when he has a good pocket and he has time to throw the ball, you see him running out of the pocket, rolling to his right, hoping somebody gets open or hoping that he can, you know, get the edge. When in the first half, it didn't show like he still had that speed, and he didn't show that speed last season to get the edge and get a first down. Putting his body at risk way too much with the run. He had, you know, some good moments last night. He played way better in the second half, but overall, like, he struggled. He struggled.
So my sentiments exactly. I think, you know, Jalen struggled a bit. I think it looks bad because he has some really poor decision making skills, and I think it comes up where he has big moments where he just makes horrible decisions. But there were moments, and while he's on my list, simply put, Jalen Hurts was the reason we lost that game because he threw the interception at the very end of the game. Simply put,
yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
That's why we lost. That contributed to the loss, at least. But On the surface, I think he did have some good moments. But what makes me nervous about Jalen is in those crunch time moments, I feel like he struggles with the pressure. And you throwing a deep ball on first and 10, bro. Like, why? We still have a timeout. Yeah, it's under 30 seconds left, but we got a timeout. Seconds in football mean a lot. I've seen, now granted, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. But I've seen Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs change a game in the last 10 seconds of it. You know? So he can't just throw a deep ball down there and be like, oh, I hope and wish that AJ was down there, because AJ wasn't in the game. He wasn't in the game. So I just think that he needs to make better decisions. And overall, I noticed some key areas where Jalen did struggle that make me nervous, but yeah, we'll get into more of it later. You said the offensive play calling, defense,
Defense, and Jalen. And, like, to go back to the offense again, I keep harping on the offense. Defense got their fair share of the blame, and they going, you know, and I'm a let you know about the defense in a couple of minutes. But, like, the penalties, like, we got flagged 3 times yesterday for the same call, that illegal man down the field. Like, that's coaching. Like, why don't the players know the rule that they're not supposed to be down the field after a certain point in the play? Like, that's preseason. That's training camp day one. It's unacceptable. Like, and to get flagged for that 3 times, and each time we got flagged, that negates a drive that we was getting some momentum on. Now we got to knock it back 5 more yards or 10 yards or whatever, or 5 yards rather, and try to run another play and try to get that momentum back when we just had a good drive. It's like it kills us every time. And that's coaching.
Yeah, that's definitely coaching. That's coaching. But part of it is like, do they know what Jalen Hurts is getting ready to do? But let's get into segment number 2. My favorite segment. We did it on our first episode.
Okay, what's that?
Good, bad, and ugly. I told you I'm always going to say ugly like that. So let's start. We always going to start off with, you know, I always want to hear the good things first, because there were a lot of good moments last night. Tell me a little bit about your good, Marky.
Good. Like I said, the run game. Offensive line held up well. Gave Jalen a lot of time with the protection to throw the ball. And, you know, eventually to find an open man. Even though sometimes he left the pocket way too soon when he had a good pocket to find a guy and deliver the ball. But they gave Saquon a lot of opportunity to snap, and he did. And make play, and he made a lot of plays. And I think the offensive line really did their thing last night. And, you know, as a result, you know, we rushed for like 186 yards, like you said. And, you know, I think overall, like, the run game was good, even though we didn't adopt it right away. When they finally started to get to it, like, it was successful. And I think the offensive line was a good, you know, a big proponent of that.
Agreed. Saquon, that's my good. Saquon is good. Saquon is a star. In New York, all he needed was an offensive line. A big play that I remember from last night, it was a 3rd and 3 where we thought he got the touchdown, and unfortunately he was down, so they pushed it in. But Saquon made a big play on 3rd and 3. Watching him move and run through guys, he breaks tackles left and right. He's just really exciting to watch. You give him the ball, and you can almost guarantee he's going to make it through 3 tackles.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Saquon is that guy, and I knew it when we got him. And, you know, we talked about this years ago. Like, if we had Saquon behind our offensive line, like, Saquon would go for, like, 1,500 yards. And he has the talent. He has the speed. He has the quickness. He has the power. He blocks for Jalen, you know, with something we didn't have in years past. DeAndre was a little bit undersized, so he would kind of, you know, get beat up in the backfield trying to block bigger defenders. Miles Sanders, yeah, whatever. And we know, you know, Boston Scott was an undersized guy too. But Saquon brings the whole package from the running back position.
For sure. And another, I've got 2 more good things. And one people probably not going to enjoy me saying, but Devontae Smith gave us the first touchdown of the game. you know, he has 7 receptions for 76 yards, which isn't a ton. You know, it's not anything explosive. But with A.J. Brown being out, him not getting as many targets as I thought he would, or being a focus as I thought he would, I think our offense, like you was talking about the play calling earlier, we need to make adjustments for Devontae, because the offense has to run differently if you Devontae versus A.J. Brown. It's just not the same. I think Devontae is a great wide receiver, and he could be wide receiver one, but he and A.J. are two totally different players, and I think they need to learn, and Jalen needs to learn and figure out how to run the offense when you have Devontae, who's a little bit smaller, not as big, he's not blocking, but Devontae is going to catch a ball for you. That's one thing he's going to do. Catch a ball.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, you know, Devontae, we talk about it sometimes, like any other team on the NFL, in the NFL, or, you know, out of maybe the 32 teams, maybe out of the, you know, 28 of those teams, Devontae is a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, he's every other team's number one, aside from ours, the Dolphins, the Vikings, and the Raiders with Devontae. But every other team, and Jamar, obviously, and Cincy. But, like, every other team, Devontae is a number one receiver.
For sure, for sure. And then, last, I had a couple of good things, and this one is probably one people will not enjoy. But Jalen Hurts. I think there's some good there in Jalen Hurts. I know there are a lot of glaring issues. There's a lot of things, struggles, etc. But Jalen Hurts, I just feel like he doesn't get some of the credit he deserves. And we talk about this sometimes, just because he's just not flashy, or something isn't explosive. You just, or something overshadows his performance. Like Saquon dropping a pass on 3rd-and-3, or him throwing an interception at the very end of the game. I just think Jalen Hurts had a pretty okay game. He had a completion percentage of 76%, which I think is pretty solid. He had a QBR, which is a quarterback rating. He had a QBR of over 85. He threw for 183 yards. His longest was 19 yards. Threw a touchdown to Devontae. He put the ball in good spots when we really needed it. He used his legs, which was, I get people are like, oh, he doesn't need to put himself in that situation. But I think that that's just the character of who Jalen Hurts is. He's going to be that athletic guy. He's going to use his legs. And I feel like when he sits and gets comfortable in that identity, he performs well. When he tries to be something he's not, throwing deep balls, trying to be a Patrick Mahomes, a Tom Brady, be a guy that he isn't, I think that's when he falters. That's when he struggles. I think if he just focused on what he's good at, using your legs, you know, making a couple short throws or whatever, I think he can be accurate and he could be good. So that, you know, that's mine. And everybody might not agree with that, but I think he had some good moments yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, Jalen wasn't all bad. Like, there were some good moments last night in the game. Like you said, I think at this point, Jalen is who he is. Like, he has to run the ball. It's a part of him. That's how he gets his, you know, that's how he gets going. He has to run a couple of times, you know, get a couple first downs, just to get the juices flowing. And then at that point, he's comfortable, he's locked in, and he can start making plays. But I think that's definitely a part of his game. It's been a part of his game since he's been at Alabama. He was always a dual threat option coming out of high school, and just trying to make him a pocket passer while we want to, because it's going to prolong his career, not to take all those unnecessary hits. It's a part of his game, but we also have to find a balance of, yo, this is when you run, this is when you need to run, and yo, this is where we just going to throw this ball away, or we going to, let's try to make this first down with our arm.
What was some of your bad from the game? What were some of your bad areas?
Hate to, you know, give you the other side of the coin, but Jalen was bad for me last night. Like I said, first half, struggled, and decision-making, forcing throws with that interception, you know, that kind of ended the game. Not kind of, but it did end the game. Just trying to be Superman. That Superman complex that he has sometimes. It's also clear that if AJ is not on the field, like, he struggles. He struggles when he doesn't have that safety net. I think a lot of times why people give Jalen so much flack is because, like you said, it's not flashy. He doesn't have a really strong arm. He has an okay arm, but it's not super strong. He's not pinpoint accurate, whereas quarterbacks that aren't necessarily the strongest throwers can kind of make up for that with their accuracy. He doesn't wow you with anything in terms of a quarterback. He doesn't wow you with his arm, but doesn't wow you with his accuracy. And then his decision-making is spotty. But AJ kind of makes up for those, you know, his shortcomings with just his ability to just get the ball wherever Jalen throws it, whether it's a good pass or a bad pass, double covers, triple covers, it don't matter. I'm going to go get it. So when he doesn't have that, like he didn't have that last night, like we saw as a result, like what that looks like. It looks like Britton Covey being the third option when it should be Jahan Dotson that we just got. Offense should have ran through Devontae. Devontae should have been getting, which he did. He got the most receptions last night, the most targets, which he should have. But where was Goddard? Where was Goddard? Where was Jahan Dotson? Where was Saquon in the past game? It is, like I said, it's clear that when AJ's not in the game, like, he struggles to make those throws and he struggles to make that. So another bad that I had, aside from Jalen, you know, kind of an honorable mention, is Kellen Moore's offense. Like, they praise Kellen Moore for being this offensive guru and he's going to right the wrongs that we had last season with the offense looking stale. Last night, it still looked stale. Like, it still looked pass happy. Like, the first drive of the game, four straight passes. Pass, pass, pass. And then we got the penalty, which brought us back again. And then another pass. It's like, we got Saquon. What's the point of having Saquon, man? Run the ball. All these hitch routes and curl routes, you know, when it's third and 15, that's not moving the chains. And I think over time, over the course of the season, people are going to start really starting to pay attention to that, like we did with Brian Johnson's offense, and really criticizing Kellen Moore for not being creative and not switching things up. Because honestly, last night, the offense looked mediocre, and it shouldn't with all the playmakers that we got, plus that line.
And I will say, so in my bad column, I definitely have Jalen as well. So Jalen is he's in my good and he's in my bad. Now, not protecting the ball, doing that hero ball he does at the end of every game, it is nerve-wracking for me. And also, just not being able to read the field, read his coverages, meet his receivers halfway. The line gave him a lot of time yesterday.
They did.
A lot of time. They did well. They gave him a ton of time to find an open receiver and make a play. And in certain moments, he just didn't, and he needed to. And like you said, where is Goddard? Why aren't we running the ball to Saquon? Early on, we should have been running the ball to Saquon. And where is Goddard? Honestly, something about, I don't know what it is, but I've already just chalked it up. Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, just don't connect. Grant Calcaterra got more touches last night than I remember Goddard getting. There's never a connection between the two of them. So I've kind of just chalked that up. And unfortunately for Goddard, you know, that means he doesn't, you know, he doesn't excel. But Kellen Moore, as a part of your bad, I kind of agree with that. Along with just an overall coaching was a bad for me. Time, clock management, play calling, decision making. There's just, I'm not 100% ready to hang my hat on this yet and crucify the play calling because it's only week two. But there were just certain plays. It's just like, why are we doing this? And nothing against Britton Covey, but Why is he our third option? They got Britton Covey in the slot. Why are we throwing a pass to Britton Covey on third down? He made a couple plays yesterday, don't get me wrong. But Britton Covey was everywhere. Where was Jahan? I saw him out there one time that I significantly remember. Britton Covey, they had that man on special teams. They had him in the slot. They had him, you know, receiving the ball on third down. They had him handing out waters and towels on the sideline. Britton Covey was doing everything, okay? Somebody need to pay Britton Covey because they had him everywhere yesterday. But to your point, the offense overall looks stale, looks stale. So what's your ugly? Tell me what was ugly to you?
That front seven, man. That pass rush, that run defense was horrible. Like, putrid, as some people would say. And that's something that, like, when I first came on the show a few weeks or so ago, that I talked about. Like, I'm still very concerned about that D-line. Jordan Davis was gassed. He only played 29 snaps last game, last night. He on the sideline, hands on his hips, gassed. So I thought he came in this offseason, you know, in shape. Clearly, he just lost a little bit of weight. That don't make him in shape because he's still not in game ready speed. Yeah. Bryce Huff wearing number zero, which is fitting because he did zero for us this season so far. Nolan Smith did nothing. Josh Sweat did nothing. It's like, yo, like Bijan Robinson is killing us on the run game on the ground. The other running back snapped. And broke off.
Al-Algieri?
Yeah, snapped last game. It's like, where's the run defense at? Like, where are the linebackers that's supposed to be filling the gap, making a play? And honestly, why that run defense looks so bad, you could say, is because of Jordan Davis and, dare I say, Jalen Carter. We was giving Jalen Carter all this love in the beginning of the season because how he looked in preseason and training camp, and people are ramping and raving about him. But this season so far, like, he hasn't done anything. Like, and then a report came out today where he got benched a good portion of the first quarter because he was late to a team event last week and had to sit out. He was being so it's like, are you focused, bro? Because if those two guys play, all they got to do is take up those blocks. They take up those blocks from the offensive line. Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean can make plays in a run game. That's how it works. The D-line takes up the blocks. The linebackers can come free and make the play. And they weren't. They were getting pushed back. I saw Nolan Smith get put on his butt by an undersized running back in Bijan Robinson. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I couldn't fathom how bad that run defense was. No QB pressure, like I said. Kirk Cousins is a statue in the pocket. He doesn't run. He's not mobile. He's going to sit there. But if you let him sit there, he's eventually going to find somebody that's open and make a play, which is what he did. It was bad. Tackling in the secondary, again, last season we couldn't tackle. This season so far we can't tackle. I watched CJGJ miss two tackles yesterday. I watched him miss the tackle, which led to a touchdown last week. It's like, come on, man. We can't keep going this way, or it's going to be a short season again. They got to tighten this up. But honestly, that was ugly. And if I'm being real, you know what that game reminded me of last night? That game reminded me of last season when we lost to the Seahawks. It ended the exact same way. Jalen Hurts throws an interception that seals the game for the other team. Legit. Pass rush defense last season against the Seahawks. Legit. I watched Drew Lock, backup quarterback.
Drew Lock, y'all.
Drew Lock drive the entire field, score a touchdown in less than a minute. Last night, I watched Kirk Cousins drive down the entire field with no timeouts, score a touchdown. And it's like no pressure, not a sack, nothing. Like, nobody in his face. They letting the receivers go free. It was bad. Like, it was bad. And that brought back the feeling that I had last season. And, you know, for me, that's my ugly. I don't know what your ugly is, but that was ugly to me.
Woo, yes. Ugly. My ugly was the defense as well. I mean, you said most of it. But Bijan Robinson rushed for 97 yards, 14 carries. We got manhandled. Russian defense right now is ranked 25th in the league. 25th. So far in the season, we have given up over 157 yards in Russian defense. Secondary got lit up, and that's just because, in my opinion, they don't want to tackle. I don't know what it is. It's only a few guys that want to tackle. I see Q wanting to tackle. I see Reed wanting to tackle. But everybody else just trying to push players out of bounds. Like, bro, make the tackle. Passing defense. Secondary got lit up. Passing defense. We suck. We have given up so far in the season over 240 yards and four touchdowns. One of them being from last night. It's only been two games, y'all. We aren't ranked much higher than we were last season when it comes to defense. Overall defense, we're ranked 30th in the league so far. Granted, it's only week two, guys. It's only week two. But last season, we was ranked 31st. And I said I wasn't expecting a huge improvement this season, but I was at least expecting us to get to 20th overall. And we made it up one slot from last season. Only ahead of the Rams and the Colts. So, the defense is very ugly. Something has got to give. Something has got to turn around. I need to see more blitzing. I need to see something from Bryce Huff. I need to see something from Josh Sweat. Right now, I'm missing Hassan Reddick. I need somebody that's going to get to the quarterback. We missing a playmaker like him up at the front. And Eagles defense needs a leader, needs a huge playmaker that is a leader. Because right now, I don't feel like they have it. And I think that's part of the issue as well. But next week, Sunday, September 22nd at 1 o'clock in New Orleans, where the Super Bowl will be, the Eagles are playing the Saints.
Little baby.
And what are your predictions for next week, Marquis?
I don't like this game in New Orleans, if I'm being honest. The Saints, as we know, which we always hype about and laughing at the Cowboys because they got smacked at home 44-19. And the Saints ran all over them. I mean, Alvin Kamara racked up like 115 yards on the ground. He had three touchdowns, caught another one. And we already talked about how we just can't seem to stop the run. So it can get bad real fast on Sunday if they cannot figure out how to stop the run. I don't feel good about the game. Like Derek Carr, you know, been up and down, but he has had success in the league. He has shown flashes where he can be a Pro Bowl quarterback. It didn't pan out last season, two seasons ago, which I thought it would when he had Devontae. But Derek Carr, given the time, can make plays just like any quarterback in the league. And he has two good receivers. He's got Chris Olave. He's got Rashid Shaheed, who are both super fast. They're quick. They can make guys miss in the open field, which our secondary doesn't do. What we already talked about, they don't do a good job tackling, aside from Reed and Quinyon. And most importantly, like, their defense is good. Like, I know you just ran off the defensive team stats, but the Saints, on the other hand, can stop the run. They have a solid front seven that can get to the quarterback and make it uncomfortable for Jalen. Most importantly, they're fifth in the league in turnovers. So Jalen cannot be careless with the ball. No fumbles. He can't force the ball into triple covers. It's Tyrann Mathieu back there. They got Kool-Aid McKinstry back there. Tyrann had a pick last season. They picked off Dak twice last game. So Jalen can't be careless with the ball. They hard against the run. And they got playmakers on offense. And they can run the ball. So it's everything we just rattled off that the Eagles struggled with last night is all the things that the Saints do well.
Thank you. Next week is going to be a struggle. If we manage to win next week, it'll be by a small margin, I'm sure. And to your point, last week, Alvin Kamara ran all over that Cowboys defense, who people think top defense in the league.
That's what they say.
So I'm not confident going into next week, especially because it's not at home. But overall, I don't think we're going to be able to clean up some of our defense issues by next week. I don't think we're going to be able to stop the run. And, you know, that's going to be they're going to hand it off to Alvin for sure, for sure. And Jalen will need to have a perfect game. And our team won't be able to make any mistakes. No penalties. We can't be having an illegal man down the field. We can't rack up non-penalties like we did yesterday. We can't have Jalen throwing an interception. We've got to protect the ball, and we got to get clean. Like, why are we making these small mistakes? I feel like the Eagles are missing the details. Yeah, but overall, you know, we're Eagles fans, but it's week two. Like, it's legit. It's week two, guys. It's week two.
It is pretty early still.
A lot of things can happen between now and the end of the season. We can be critical. We'll call it constructive criticism, okay? But as an Eagles fan, I'm going to stay hopeful to the very end. You know, I might not like it all the time. I have faith in this team and the new coordinators. I have no choice but to have faith in them. So hopefully, you know, we make it to the playoffs and we get far. I mean, goal is to make it to another Super Bowl. But, Marquis, thank you for joining.
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Welcome. You know, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in. I know you had a busy day, but thanks for hopping on. Thanks for talking with me. Thanks for chatting. Thanks for sharing your opinions, your thoughts with all of my listeners. But until next time, Eagles fans, peace.
Peace.